In this episode of Fictional Hangover, we discuss the first family, the royal family, and their complicated relationship in Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fictional Hangover, a podcast about our favorite young adult books, series, and authors that is full of spoilers. I'm Amber.
And I'm Amanda.
And today we're going to be discussing Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston.
Standard disclaimer. If you haven't read this book, please remember that all our podcasts are going to be full of spoilers. If you haven't read and don't want to be spoiled, stop listening to us and go read or listen to the book. If you haven't done this but want to pretend that you have, or if you don't care about spoilers, or if you just love us so much that you don't care about any of that, then listen up.
Oh, how you doing?
Oh, you know. Same old, same old.
Just doing all sorts of cool exploring with
yes.
Mount St. Helens?
Yes. Yes. We did get to go to Mount St. Helens. So that was really neat. Terrifying. Because, of course, I don't like heights. But when we went into the lava tunnels, which are called the Ape Caves.
Ape Caves.
Yes. That was a lot of fun. And Jacob was really surprised that I was not terrified when we were down there. And it didn't scare me. Being in the complete pitch black darkness did not scare me.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was so cool.
It looked really neat.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Good. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah. We're really running through that bucket list that we found.
I know. I talked to, who did I talk to? Oh, on my Boston trip, I went out and spent a day with somebody who's from Seattle who told me that he has like a family house out there and was like, if you go out there, you could stay and like, da da da. I was like, oh, well, I'll let you know. I happen to have a friend out there. So I was talking about you a little bit. But yeah, I went to Boston this weekend too, and that was nice.
Did you do any cave exploring?
Negative. I did some cannoli exploring. Also, I learned what avocados are. Like, how did I not know this was a thing, guys? You put ice cream in a cup and you pour hot espresso over it. It's like two of my favorite things.
And now it's your newest favorite thing.
Yeah, you like, instead of putting cream and sugar in espresso, you put ice cream in it. It tastes amazing.
It sounds delicious.
It was so good.
Can you make it at home?
Yes.
Will you make it at home? I guess I should say, because yes. Of course you can make it at home.
I think I just need to figure out how to make espresso at home is the problem, because I don't have an espresso maker. And I don't think it's the same pouring coffee. It's not quite as potent.
But that could also be delicious.
I mean, it definitely could be. It's like a root beer flobo with coffee.
Could be delicious. Maybe you should try it and tell us how it is.
I could do that.
Okay. Is anything else going on?
Not at this moment. Leaving tomorrow for another trip. Just lots of trips right now. Mm-hmm. I got my cousin's getting married in Canada.
Oh, yay.
This Sunday. So I'm going up there for the wedding. Apparently the low is 50 up there. I'm very excited.
Oh, so chilly.
Yes. So I got to pack tonight.
Well, that will be delightful. Hopefully no one crashes into the wedding cake.
Yes, I think that would be upsetting, but also a great story.
Right. Later on down the road. Is it going to be a $75,000 wedding cake?
No.
No.
I think her and I talked, like, I feel like it was her that we were looking at prices, or like something happened. Maybe it wasn't her, but I was talking with a friend about like $500 wedding cakes, and they were like, it's so obscene. Like, why are wedding cakes so expensive? It's like, I don't know. I understand now why people do the things like mini bundt cakes and like cupcakes and cake pops. It's like actually much more affordable.
Yeah.
I think I would do that. I think my cousin's doing a s'more bar. I'm not sure if that means she's just doing like a little cake and then a s'more bar or what, or if she's doing both. I don't know. There's going to be fires outside. It's going to be marvelous. I'm very excited about it, actually.
It sounds very exciting.
So, yeah.
My wedding was not that exciting because my insulin pump broke. Yeah. So I was sick.
Oh, no.
It broke that morning. It was awful.
That's like the worst timing possible.
Yes. It was dreadful. I had to leave our reception to vomit, which I did on the floor of the Crescent Hotel in Arkansas. It's a haunted hotel. Amazing place. But I vomited on the floor of the bathroom in my wedding dress.
Oh,
yay, diabetes! Hooray!
Listen, would you rather have... would you rather have a beautiful wedding or a beautiful marriage?
I am quite pleased with our marriage thus far.
So,
and, you know, just like in our story that we're going to discuss today, it's a good story to tell later. That day, I was very upset and just felt like garbage. But now, I mean, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I didn't really get to enjoy anything, and I went up to our hotel room by myself and laid down with a washcloth on my forehead while Jacob entertained all of our friends and family. Yeah, so that wasn't great, but, you know.
Great marriage, though.
Yeah.
Hashtag relationship goals.
Yes, definitely. Okay, that's enough. Let's talk about this book.
Okay, you got background info?
I do. So first off, let's just say that this one is definitely more new adult than young adult, but we've read and discussed at least one of those before, so it's fine, whatever.
Right.
Right, okay.
Totally fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine. So I read several interviews with Casey McQuiston preparing for this episode, and I am pulling a quote from one specifically because it came from a library. Is that wrong of me? Maybe. Daryl Maxwell of the Los Angeles Public Library blog asks, "How did the novel evolve and change as you wrote and revised it? Are there any characters or scenes that were lost in the process that you wish had made it to the published version?" And Casey's response is, "The biggest evolution this book went through was an overall change in tone. I began writing in early 2016 as a Veep-esque affectionate send-up of American liberal politics. But after the 2016 election and all of the terrible things that came with it, the book transformed into something a lot more hopeful and a lot less cynical. I didn't think I'd need to add any more cynicism to the world." There were a lot of words that got cut for space, mostly just fun asides like Henry filming a promo for the 2020 Olympics or Alex flirting with staffers for information, but I'm hoping to find a way to use those one day. It would be so great. I would love to see Henry filming a promo for the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think it would be fantastic.
I just want Henry to be real.
Me too.
Yeah. I actually really still want the White House trio to be real, too. I'm okay with them. I quite like them.
Yes, I like all of them.
I'll just be the fourth. I'll date Nora. How about that?
You could. You could date Nora.
I know.
It'd be fine.
It'd be great. All right. What were your initial thoughts?
At first, I was afraid to read this one because everyone online says that it's really good. And normally, I don't like to get on the hype train. But now I'm on board. When a trusted reader read this one, which we will go into that a little bit more later, I realized that I have to read it.
I'm glad that you, even though it was on the hype train, that you got aboard. See, sometimes hype trains are hyped for a reason.
Sometimes, but sometimes they're soul crushing. Sometimes half of us are really, really excited about one book and the other half hates them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But neither one of us hated this one.
No. I mean, you just told me it involved gay boys and I just went with it. That was, we joke about this sometimes, like a lot of times. And I kind of prefer this where like, I don't really know much about the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know that it involved a prince, to be honest, when I started reading. I don't read the covers. You told me it was like about gay boys. It said red, white, and royal blue. I figured it was about America somehow. And I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did, only because traditionally you're the one who really likes the gay boys. Like I like gay boys, but like true. I haven't, you typically like those characters much more than I do. And I'm not as into which is funny. I'm not as into LGBT books. Like as a genre, I feel like, you know, or a subgenre of realistic fiction. So, but I really loved the characters. I thought the writing was really good. I thought they brought out the emotional sides of all the characters really well. And I just fell in love with them. So yeah. I'm glad that we did read this, and I'm glad that it opened my eyes to liking some LGBT stuff. And for the record, it's funny because I obviously am, I don't know that I talk about it much, but I'm super supportive of the LGBT community in real life. It's not that I don't read them. I don't want to just, I don't want anybody that's listening to think that I don't read them because I don't support LGBT stuff, because I certainly do.
Right. A lot of my issues, I don't like to read them either. If that's what the book is about, that's the sole focus, is about like them having terrible lives and having, you know, to fight to be with who they love. I don't like that.
Right.
If something terrible is happening in the background and you're a girl who happens to like a girl, then awesome. But I don't want it to, it hurts my heart.
Right. When it's like the central point, when it's used as a like propaganda piece.
Yeah,
almost. I don't like that
device.
Either.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like why we like Raven Boys, right? Because like the gayness in that one is so on the side and not talked about. Also, you know, in this one, which is funny, I've said this with every time it's come up, that I love a bisexual guy.
Right. It's perfect.
Yeah. Just like Jesper.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into the summary. It's 2019. Ellen Claremont, a Democrat from Texas, is in her third year as the first female president of the United States. Her children, Alex and June Claremont Diaz, are older than any other first children to live in the White House. But Alex, 21, is in college at Georgetown, and June, who just graduated from UT, feels the need to keep an eye on her younger brother. Probably for the best, based on the rest of this book. Always with the first siblings is Nora Halloran, granddaughter of the vice president. The three are called the White House Trio, and together they are near royal heartthrobs and on the cover of the best gossip magazines. After learning all of this in the first few pages of the book, our story really gets started when the trio fly to England for Prince Philip's royal wedding. Alex and his arch nemesis, Philip's younger brother Henry, get into a little bit of a spat and manage to fall into the $75,000 wedding cake.
I'm sorry, did you just say $75,000?
$75,000 on a wedding cake.
So much money.
Have cake pops, Prince Philip. Come on.
After the cake-tastrophe and kind of ruining everything and needing to repair the PR disaster, Madam President and her best and most trusted assistant, Zahara, send Alex back to London to do charity events so that he and Henry can pretend to be best buds who had a homoerotic frat boy mishap. When he arrives in London, he's met by Sean, Henry's handler, who explains what the weekend will entail, a morning TV news and children's hospital visit, etc. And then they go meet Henry at the stables where he's playing polo in a Prince Charmingly handsome way. The morning show is fine and goes off well, but at the hospital, the two are shoved into a janitor's closet because of a gun scare / fireworks issue.
Of course.
A very small closet. They each realize that the other is not as terrible as originally thought, and they trade phone numbers to keep up the illusion of friendship.
Sure.
Alex is the one who does that. Takes his phone and puts his number in, right?
Oh, Alex. After returning to D.C., we see a little more of Alex's life in the White House. His father is a senator from California. His stepdad is the first gentleman. I love that so much. And doesn't work anymore, but he was an eccentric millionaire inventor. His favorite senator is Rafael Luna, an openly gay independent from Colorado. And Jeffrey Richards is running against his mother and is a conservative from Utah. His mom wants him to start working on her reelection campaign as soon as he graduates. His family life is absolutely delightful. which is refreshing because it's not something that we see very often in books. After being home for a couple of weeks, he gets a text from Henry, who he assigns the name HRH Prince Dickhead Poop Emoji in his phone, which is fantastic. The two make jokes and jabs at each other, and we learn that Henry's dog is a Slytherin, and Henry is a Hufflepuff-ass bitch. Yes, he is. His best friend's name is Pez, and he's colorful and rich and likes doing charity things. His sister's name is Bee. His late father was once James Bond, and his mom's not really around. The two talk on the phone for the first time before Thanksgiving when Alex has turkeys in his room because they were going to have their own hotel room and he couldn't handle that. And he's terrified of them and wants Henry to hear their evil gobbling. It's my favorite part.
Me too. So good.
Then it's Christmas and there's a fight between Alex's parents because the whole family gets together even though they're divorced. And he calls Henry to talk about it.
Aww. Up next is New Year's Eve and here's where things start happening. Henry and Pez come to the White House for a party. Pez has insta-love with June. Henry kisses Alex and then ghosts him.
No!
It's like, which is worse? Not worse, but which is, yeah, anyways, more surprising. Alex talks to Nora about it, and she explains to Alex that Henry is gay and Alex is bisexual because he obviously didn't realize it himself, even though he's been with both females and males. But, like, that's just what horny high school guys are like, right?
That's what he thought. Oh my gosh, bless him.
I don't know that that's true.
I don't think so.
He thinks so, anyways.
Right? Oh, bless him. This is where they mention Harry Potter so much throughout this book. But Nora says that Alex has been Draco Malfoy level obsessed with Henry for years. And that is so hilarious.
So, but does he mean like because Draco is obsessed with Harry?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm just making sure. All right. Well, then Alex finds pictures of Henry and a girl in June's magazines. But princes aren't allowed to be gay, so of course he's got a girl in a picture with him. Then Alex calls a boy that he used to make out with, the one we were just talking about in high school, who on the phone, who's like, yeah, what we did was gay, and I'm with my boyfriend now, so I'm going to go. Yeah. A couple weeks later, there's a dinner with the new prime minister at the White House, and of course Henry's there, and after they have a 5-minute secret makeout during dinner, Alex invites Henry to his bedroom.
Adorable things start happening now, but if we talk about every cute thing these boys do, this episode will be 3 hours long because we all know how much I love boys being able to safely have relationships with each other. Ronan and Adam, Jesper and Wylan, swoon. Okay. So, suffice it to say that they creatively find ways to spend a lot of time together and write each other romantic emails quoting works of literature. Aww. It's so adorable.
So cute.
But then bad things happen. But not with the boys. With the presidential race. That senator that Alex really respects has joined Jeffrey Richards' cabinet. Yikes. Then Zara catches Alex and Henry. Yikes again.
Ugh.
And she makes him tell his mom.
Like he's like 10 years old.
What? I mean, you would think that that is also yikes, but it's not because she's amazing and I want her to be my president.
I know. I know.
She makes a slideshow presentation for him. It's so funny.
The titles are the best part of that. Of each of the slides. So good.
It's so great.
The accent, the voice of her too on the audio is real good. The Texas draw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So kind of something bad though. She kicks him off the campaign. But then at the family lake house with Alex's dad, when Alex decides to tell Henry, you know, that he loves him, Henry leaves and he doesn't respond to calls, emails, or texts. So Alex flies to London and practically breaks down the door of the palace. Henry loves Alex too, of course, but he's not allowed to be gay, and it's terrible for him because his family doesn't support him the way Alex's family does. Which he realized at the lake house with his dad, and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. But they decide that they want to be with each other 1,000%, and that they're going to figure everything out after the election. Except the Richards campaign told the whole world about them. Hey, it's a presidential election email scandal.
Huh.
Hey.
Not familiar at all.
No, what?
Even though it was terrible, it wasn't actually terrible. Like, everyone in the United States was fine with it. Henry's family, though, not so much. Queen Mary doesn't approve, but then Henry's mom comes in threatening to take the crown, and then they manage to make it work. Then it gets even better because Rafael Luna, Alex's former hero, reveals why he joined Richard's campaign. Because Richards is a sleazebag that abused Luna and lots of the other young interns a long time ago, and probably still does. And Luna wanted to expose him. But when Richards pulled the email scandal business, Luna left. So, he's not a terrible guy after all.
Thank goodness.
Then there's a nail-biting election, like down to Texas flipping blue. And, surprise, it does. Which,
yay.
Crazy, actually. Like, in real life. Literally crazy.
Yes.
But
yay!
The book ends with royal oil paintings of cute boys and Prince Henry moving to New York to manage LGBT youth shelters and to be with his own Prince Charming. Or his own first son.
Aww. Delightful.
So cute.
Aww.
Yeah. Henry ghosts twice. For somebody who's so sure about his gayness, he's very, like, I get it, but I also just feel like don't like ghosters.
No. But, I mean, can you put yourself in his shoes? He's not allowed to be gay. And, you know, he had, in the first instance, he had just seen Alex kissing Nora, which he didn't understand.
But he kissed him after that.
I know, but he was confused and also intoxicated.
That's true. He was drunk. You're right. I'll give you that.
And then the second time, I think that he was just so upset seeing Alex's family be so accepting of him. And I think it just broke his tiny heart. He couldn't have that. And so he didn't want to get in even further.
He was already in over his head.
Was.
Already in over his head. It's too late. It was too late, Henry. What are you doing?
Oh, Henry. But it all worked out in the end.
Yeah. All right. Well, what was your favorite part?
The not-so-subtle Harry Potter references.
Yeah.
I love them.
They were cute.
And the Thanksgiving turkeys.
Oh, my God. The turkeys, definitely my favorite part. Like, it's just so funny. You just saw how neurotic Alex was. Like, straight up, I don't know that I've seen an author do such a good job at writing the neurosis that goes on in somebody's brain like that. Like, those are real thoughts. Like, I feel like that's something that a person could think. Like, I have crazy thoughts, not about turkeys, but.
I wonder if she's writing from life experience.
Ooh, maybe.
Maybe she's had a turkey in her hotel room and it frightened her. We can always hope that, right?
Two cages of turkeys. What were their names again?
Cornbread and Stuffing? It's adorable.
Oh my gosh.
What else?
I also really love the scene at the museum at night when Henry... So when Henry chases after... when Alex chases after Henry and shows up at the palace and he stays for a couple days... One of the nights they sneak out and go to that museum. It's like the A and V. I don't remember exactly what it's called. But Henry takes him back to his favorite room and he explains the history of all the statues there and says that, like, as a kid, he always wanted to bring somebody that he loved there and slow dance with him. And then he does exactly that with Alex. And it's adorable.
Yeah. It was very sweet.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite part?
So I really... did not enjoy. So although I feel like his mom was very supportive of him coming out, Alex's mom, I think that getting asked to leave the campaign trail was a bad move and I didn't like it. So my thinking on this is that if it comes out after the fact that she asked him to leave the campaign because she found that out, that looks even worse than him continuing to stay on the campaign being gay and dating Henry, right?
Yeah.
I think it makes her not only look like a bad president, but a crappy mom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't like that. And I think that it could have been handled better. I think they could have had a conversation where she could have said, like, if you want to continue to be on the campaign, you can't see Henry when you're on the campaign. Or you can go off the campaign and whatever.
I don't know. I feel like an ultimatum is worse. But I can also understand her kicking him off the campaign because all of those times that he's been flying to London, I mean, if anyone found out about that, they might think that he was using campaign finances to pay for that, which is also bad. So just the whole, all of that was terrible.
But like they found out that the whole thing happened at the DRC, right? So like the pictures that came out were from the DRC.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's came out in accordance to the campaign stuff anyways.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite part?
I hate how Henry's not able to be himself when he's with his family the way Alex is with his. Like I said earlier, these things make my heart hurt. And I obviously hate the Republicans messing with the emails because that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's despicable. And I also hate that I had to leave so much out of the summary, like June and Pezza and Nora and Zara and Sean and Amy. There's so many fantastic characters and so many things that they're doing in the background. And I had to leave them out.
Even Cash
would have been 30 hours long. Yeah, and Cash.
Yeah.
How did I forget about Cash?
Yeah. Yeah, like we skipped over a lot of those fun play dates, but they had a lot of play date fun stuff that they did in LA. They went like, is that the karaoke night or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
They did a bunch of cute stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And then Zara and Sean are engaged. Like, that was so sweet. But how did that happen?
That's crazy.
Right?
Who is your favorite character?
I want to say Henry. Because how could I not love a British royal? He's delightful. But I also love President Ellen because she's hilarious. Every single time she has a scene in the book, it's something funny happens. She tells terrible stories about when she was a teenager working in her mom's bar. And like, how did you become president, lady? You're crazy.
Yeah.
And she cusses like a sailor.
Yes. Well, what is she called? The something long shot. Her last name? The Loretta long shot? Something. Anyways.
Yeah, I can't remember. But that's fantastic. She was wonderful. Who's your favorite?
I loved Alex, I think, the most. I like Nora a lot, too, though. Mm-hmm. But I think out of the two, especially, I liked Alex, which works out well. I really didn't think you'd say Henry, to be honest.
It's because he's British.
Okay. I was going to say, I feel like out of the two, personality-wise, he's not who you would have picked. But maybe that's not. But that's, like, based on past books, like, how you've picked people. So, I don't know.
I mean, I do love sarcastic jerks, and that's definitely what Alex is, but I don't know. I just like Henry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I like Alex. I think he's funny. He's driven. I like that he knows what he wants in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
You know?
Were you surprised by anything?
I was surprised by Luna a bit when we found out that he went to the other side. I knew something was up, obviously, but especially after the conversation that he had with Alex, but I was still a bit shocked, to be honest, with it when it happened. I also was really shocked that Alex went along with the plan to make it seem like June and Henry were dating. I know that didn't last long, but like...
No, it didn't, but man.
Yeah. I thought he was going to put his foot down and be like, nah, this is like, let's just let it ride out. But no.
Nope. No. But then that kind of went away anyway.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, it makes it look worse if you try to cover it up, because then now that everybody knows about them, everybody knows that they were trying to cover it up by June and Henry. So it's like you almost make yourself look worse.
Yeah. Just keep digging that hole.
That's, yeah. It's, I don't know. What about you? What were you surprised by?
I'm really surprised by the perfect world that these characters live in with their lady president.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that was our world. I want to live in this alternate universe.
I'm ready for a woman president.
Yeah, me too. And I was also surprised by Luna, especially because my first time through, I thought that the secret conversation that he was having with Alex's dad, that like conversation they were having in Spanish, had something to do with Alex and Henry, mm-hmm. or Alex being gay or being bi or something like that. But that's not what they were talking about. It was about Richards being a skis.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only like a very brief snippet that we got to see. So, you know, it could have been.
Yeah.
It could have been either way.
Yeah.
So that was.
I didn't even read into it when it happened, to be honest. I just didn't even at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you wish would have happened instead?
That we would have had our Madam President in 2016.
Oh.
Is it bad? Can I say that?
You can say it, but.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, people who are not on our side of things.
Female president, personally.
Yeah.
At the moment. That's how I feel.
I don't even know if there's anything that I would have changed in this story. I really like the way it ended. I don't know that I would change anything.
That's the hard thing I think about, like, realistic fiction, is that it is realistic. So, like, the things that I want to change aren't realistic to change. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would want to change the fact that, like, the people that are on the campaign trail or in the White House wouldn't make such a stupid big deal about all the things that a 22-year-old boy is doing. Mm-hmm. But that's just not realistic, right? Like, the truth is he's a positive role model, but you're so worried about what this looks like for the campaign and for the president that he mm-hmm. has to be careful and censor himself, which I think is crazy. Like, I get it. I wholly get it. But on the flip side, it's also crazy. And so, like, I would change that, but that's never going to change. Right. That's just American culture.
I wish our culture would continue changing.
I feel like we're going backwards. It's, like, really sad.
I know. Anyway. as we cry. Just sob tears.
All right.
Let's
get some happy stuff going.
Yeah. Is it time?
Is it time? I think it's time.
It's time. It's time.
Would you rather?
Would you rather?
Pew, pew.
Pew, 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 pew. Oh, I hear there's someone else here. What is this? I heard someone
giggling.
Else. Oh, yep. There's another person. Who is this other person? This is my person. Who are you, person?
I'm Stephanie.
Yay, Stephanie! Stephanie, why are you here?
I'm here because...
I forced you?
Well, you ask nicely. And I read the book, and I absolutely loved it. And Would You Rather sounded like a lot of fun.
Yeah! Woo! Would You Rather is a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's our favorite part of the show.
Yeah, it's the most, I feel like it's where we get to do our most creative talking too, and like really putting ourselves in the book. Mm-hmm. Amanda is really good at coming up with would you rather questions.
Thank you. Although, secret, that last question that we're going to talk about, Stephanie supplied the first half of it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So hooray! Yay. Hooray for Stephanie.
These are, I think today we got some real good ones.
Yeah.
Particularly today, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. All right, so the question that we asked you guys on Facebook and Instagram is, would you rather be part of the first family of the United States or be a part of the royal family of England? And I just have to say that I had to clarify so many times that these are fictional families. And we're not going to put you in the middle of the Trump White House. And so, honestly, I think that's why our numbers are so high.
I agree.
The royal side. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think everyone is just so tainted.
Yeah, I think they see the options and they're like, screw the president, screw America.
Yeah. So 12% of you said that you would rather be a part of the first family, and 88% said royal family on Facebook.
And on Instagram, it was even lower than that. 6% said first family and 94% said royal family.
So Arabelle said, it's a hard choice, really. Ultimately, it came down to length of time. Royal is for life, which is cool, but there are a lot of restrictions and no break ever. First family is 8 years and then maybe a few more until you can fade out of the spotlight a bit. In all honesty, I'd probably pick neither. LOL. Oh, Arabelle, that's cheating. But she did end up saying first family.
Okay.
I looked at her real response.
Interesting. I didn't know you did that. Do you look at what I do?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of times I don't answer.
I know.
I don't want to skew because I see it so early on. I see it like first thing when it posts. So anyways. Okay. Claire said, I wish I could do her voice, but I'm not even going to attempt it.
No. And she made fun of me the last time I tried.
Well, then I definitely won't attempt. Of course, one would be a royal. One could not contain this regal fabulousness for a mere 4 years. A lifetime of benevolent gloriousness is necessary.
Of course. And then we have another Stephanie. This is a different Stephanie. This different Stephanie said royal for the lifetime of privilege and the fascinators. I'll just wear a fascinator every day. I don't need to be a part of the royal family to wear a fascinator. I should have worn a fascinator today. Dang. Next time.
I want you to know I wore red, white, and blue today.
I wore blue.
I see you wearing blue, which is, I was like, do I wear a royal blue shirt and then like not any fun like black pants? Or do I wear actually red, white, and blue, which is what I did.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
I did not follow the theme.
Oh my gosh. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. Might have to start over. Right.
Oh my gosh, we'll forgive you this time, but the next time you play along with us, you have to go with the theme.
Deal.
All right.
So what did you say, Amanda?
I basically, for the same reasons that Arabelle said, I went with the first family.
Okay.
A shorter amount of time in the spotlight, but you're still famous, but just not in the spotlight all the time.
Okay.
What did you say? You said the same thing.
I did, but for different reasons. So I actually think that having a childhood that's not as in the limelight is important to me. So growing up not as privileged, growing up not as confined. You know, I think the party, the New Year's Eve party, we really saw how sheltered Prince Henry was. And we saw that, like, his upbringing clearly wasn't even close to the same as... Why am I blanking?
Alex's.
Oh my God. Sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
So yeah, I think for that reason, mainly.
Okay. Okay. Stephanie, what about you?
I said, Princess of England. Just cause there's a lot of history there and the UK is a really awesome place and I would just like to be over there.
I mean, that's a good reason. And in the book, they explored a lot of history that mm-hmm. is not well known in the real world. So, I mean, you could learn that history. You could learn all of the history whilst being in the UK, and that would be great.
Did you guys watch the Netflix show, though? The Crown.
No.
I started it. I haven't finished it.
So there's a ton of information in there about the history of, like, the Queen of England and some of the stuff that happened. And, I mean, I feel like they're just as messed up as we are in a lot of ways. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Trump is next level bad. We all know that. Whatever. Sorry, listeners who support him. We won't talk about politics. But...
It's hard to not talk about politics with this book.
I know, it really is. But I'm just saying, I feel like they have their things too, you know?
Yes. Okay. So let's go on to our next question.
Yes. Okay. Would you rather the world find out about your secret relationship by reading your smutty emails or by seeing you in compromising photos?
I think Stephanie needs to answer this one first.
Oh my gosh. I think emails, because I'm used to having more of an online presence versus my photo being splashed across media and tabloids. So at least with emails, my face wouldn't be all over everything, at least at first.
Yeah. Until they go digging and they find your picture from our podcast and they're like, oh my gosh, look, right. Here she is talking about smutty things on a podcast. And that just makes your life worse.
Yeah. Sorry. Beginning of the end.
So sorry. I'm so sorry about that. I think I would probably go the same way though.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like a compromising photo would be so much worse. And I don't really know why. At least if they're reading a smutty email, they would know that I am well spoken.
But those emails weren't all that well. I mean, they were funny though.
Yeah. But then later on when they start pulling quotes from different texts and different authors and different things, it starts to get really romantic towards the end. So at least if that part came out, you know, I would seem more well read and more well spoken.
I guarantee you those are not the things that are getting captioned on whatever Us Weekly magazine. It's gonna be a one liner with a picture of you and the love interest, maybe not in a compromising position, but together smiling with a line about I'd like to whatever. That's all that's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Just a line about dicks and mouths and like, oh, there it is. That's the one thing that we pulled. That's the highlights.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, because who's going to really read all those smutty emails? And I think that's the thing that's hard for me here is I don't know that anybody's going to read all those smutty emails like all the way through, but I also personally feel like smutty emails and like any type of writing that I've done personally is so much more personal and vulnerable than a picture, I think. And that was my original thought when I saw this question. It's like, I don't really want anybody reading my personal texts or correspondences. Mm. I'm almost more okay with a photo getting out, because the truth is if I'm in that position, photos of me get out all the time. And if not, they're going to use a clip of my email with any picture that they have of me anyways, right? Mm-hmm. So at least if it's only a picture, people can kind of fill in the blanks. Whereas if they have all my emails,
that's pretty bad. You're right. That's pretty bad.
I've read some compromising text messages, guys. Like, I don't want people reading that.
And I guess depending on what is in the photo and where we are in our stage of our smutty romance, maybe we could explain the photo away. It could have some sort of explanation. I mean, some of the things that they did, you could not.
I tripped and fell on his dick. Like,
whoops!
My mouth was open. Sorry. Hi.
But you know, it's cosplay. It's just cosplay. Maybe I should go with photos. Changing my answer.
That was my thought. I mean, you guys, I agreed with you when you said your answers, but ultimately I just feel more vulnerable sharing my words personally.
Okay. Next question. Would you rather pay a ridiculous amount of money to give a turkey a hotel room before you eat it for Thanksgiving? Or would you have it sleep in your bedroom before you eat it for Thanksgiving? Those poor turkeys, man. Cornbread and stuffing. I'm so sorry for you.
So amazing.
So good.
I don't want a turkey sleeping in my bedroom. I would pay for the hotel room.
I feel like it's taxpayer money. So there's a large part of me that's kind of like, I mean, they've been doing it every year. Why are we trying to change things this year? And how much is like even $1,000 or $2,000 really going to change things? It's one night in a hotel. There's no way it can be more than 10 grand, say, at the very most, which probably isn't even accurate, but 10 grand in the budget of the United States.
But then if people find out that it's for a turkey, they might be upset.
But it's been happening every year. It's not like my fault. It's not his fault. It's not Alex's fault.
It's true, but it could reflect poorly on the presidency. And this presidency is very important. It's groundbreaking. And then we find out that this wimpy lady president is paying for a turkey's hotel room.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is something that's been happening for years, though, no? Or is it just, like, for her presidency?
Oh, who knows?
I could see it either way.
I mean, I'm with you, though. It's staying in the hotel room. I'm just saying, I am not... I mean, if it was mice or, like, anything out there... I just... Turkeys? Like, I'm not... No, nope, nope, nope. I didn't thoroughly enjoy this part, though.
Wait.
Oh, sorry. I said, I don't want to see what I'm going to eat. No. Like, I'll develop an attachment if it's in my room. And then I won't be able to eat it the next day.
Yeah, if you're staring into his eyes all night long, can't handle it. But it
would probably have the same reaction as Alex.
Right? I would have been terrified. I loved Alex's reaction to having the turkeys in his room. Scary. It was so good.
What did they call it? It was called the turkey, turkey. I want to be like the turkey gobblegate. Some, you know, like they had some funny name for it. It's great.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so good.
Gobblegate. That was a nice ring. Okay. Ready for the next one?
Oh yeah.
Would you rather have a secret rendezvous at a tennis tournament or a polo match or a karaoke bar?
I'm going to go karaoke bar because it's the most logical place. You know, what if you're singing a very romantic song and then you just have to exit and go have your rendezvous? That's more...
At the bar, though? Or, like, at a hotel?
You know, maybe in the bathroom. Who knows? But... It's right there in the moment. And you're watching the tennis tournament or you're watching the polo match. And how are you like, okay, well, now we got to excuse ourselves to a weird hidden locker room for a minute. I know they were like in the moment with each other. But at least if you're getting in your secret rendezvous based on the location that you are, the karaoke bar has the most reason behind it. You could be singing to each other romantically and then you have to excuse yourselves. But you're watching a tennis tournament? That's not very romantic. It's not very enticing. Polo match? Maybe, because Henry plays polo. But I'm just saying. It's more personal.
Your logic is flawed. I completely disagree with you on this one.
The karaoke bar is more personal.
It's disgusting! You would never have sex in the bathroom of a bar, Amanda.
No, I wouldn't, because I'm a more respectable human being than that. But I'm putting myself in the place of these characters. And it's more romantic. It's more personal, the karaoke bar.
I just really like some sweaty sex, guys. I also like some buildup, which I feel like the polo match certainly was.
Definitely the polo match.
You just kept watching and was like, ooh. Like, I would, like, yeah. Even tennis, like, sweat?
Tennis is not sexy, Amber.
It is, too, if you're good at it. It is, too. You have clearly never watched Andy Roddick play tennis, because I have, and I've gotten his signature, and he is fine. This is, like, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, but still.
That's fantastic. Stephanie, what is your response? Maybe you will say something more reasonable.
Mine was the karaoke bar. For the same reasons. You've got the mood lighting, the romantic music. Right. I agree about the bathroom, but, you know.
But you have all those riding implements in the polo match room.
That's true.
I mean, it's like a whole little barn of fun. Not that they use
like
much
the
50 of it.
50 Shades Rendezvous.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'm into it.
Terrible.
What? Stop. That's not terrible. It's good. It's funny. He had some funny comments about it. It was great.
Okay. Last question. Would you rather fall into a $75,000 wedding cake in front of the queen or have embarrassing articles written about you and your love life in newspapers and magazines? Those are both really embarrassing things.
I mean, what kind of embarrassing articles in the newspapers and magazines? Like, just about your relationship in general and that it's, like, homosexual? Or, like, more detailed?
Oh, probably more detailed.
I'm going to go with wedding cake because while it would initially be embarrassing, I feel like I could laugh it off. Whereas embarrassing articles would just stick with me.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that the embarrassing articles, the other thing that like you have to think about is, would it ruin your relationship?
Yes.
And so like while a wedding cake is certainly disastrous, especially in front of the queen, it just ruins your reputation a little bit. It doesn't ruin your relationship. So it just depends how solid your relationship is. And if it isn't in the articles and stuff, is it long lasting? And yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say the same thing that you guys are saying, but for a different reason. Okay. I'm going to fall into the expensive wedding cake because while sure, I could laugh it off, in a couple of years, that's going to be a really great story for the wedding couple to tell. Do you remember? Oh my gosh, we hated it at the time, but that guy who's screwing my brother fell into my wedding cake. Like, it's a good story. It's a good
story.
It is.
It's definitely a good story. Also, though, it's only embarrassing you, and the other one is embarrassing both of you. So, like, that's something to think about, too, like, both people being harmed and their reputations being harmed versus one person. I'll take one for the team.
Stephanie, did you say something a second ago?
Oh, I said, and you'll have video of it to show.
Yes. And then it'll be on, you know, like, whatever the popular news TV shows are. Not like the actual news, but like, I don't think Entertainment Tonight is still a thing, but like, it would be on something like that.
E? Is this still a thing, I think? Yeah.
Okay. Well, it can be on a show like that, and it would be funny.
Mario Lopez or whatever.
What? No, not the really.
The guy from, like, Saved by the Bell or whatever.
Is he still doing those shows?
Yeah.
If Mario Lopez was talking about you falling into a wedding cake, that would be a great story.
It would be, hands down.
Only if he was doing it as AC Slater, though. Wearing those awful pants and a neon colored tank top
with the
hair. Sorry, with his sweet curly hair.
I had a friend who's like in love with him. Like, he showed up at something here, and we went to try to see him. I don't even. It's weird.
Excellent. That is excellent. Okay. Well, that is the end of our Would You Rather questions. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining us and for inspiring me to read this book.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us to it. It was great, and we appreciate having you on.
Awesome. It was fun, and I'm glad you liked the book.
So we're very pleased that Stephanie joined us. It's nice to, you know, have someone who's listened to the podcast before join us on the show. And, well, she's going to be a librarian, so makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I like having people on for Would You Rather.
Yeah, me too. So thanks for joining us, Stephanie.
Yeah, thanks. All right. What are the life lessons that you took from this book?
Believe in hope. That is my life lesson.
It's very uplifting of you.
It is very uplifting of me. But, I mean, that's kind of what got these boys through the entire book. Hoping that things would work out. And they did. So, that is what I have to say. What is your life lesson?
This country is screwed. Politics is screwed. Monarchies are screwed. I don't know. I think What is a lesson I took? So I think one of the lessons that I took is that, you know, in our generation, I've started to take it for granted a little bit that being gay is not a big deal, and that coming out's not as big of a deal as it used to be, and that being bi isn't as big of a deal as it used to be. And I probably think that because I'm not in the public spotlight, right? Like, nobody's looking at me. Nobody cares about me and my sexuality. So I just think that it was such an interesting reminder that people who are in the private eye, like, we romanticize their lives so much, but we would never really want to be them.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm grateful for my privacy.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts?
So I'm really glad we read this one. It was super duper cute. And there was a couple points where I was like, man, this is really getting a little too lovey-dovey even for me. But I really did enjoy it. I don't think, I said earlier, I don't think I've ever read a full story or a story fully about gay boys, but I really liked it. And I don't read a lot of political books either. So it was interesting. It was like a nice little insight. There was some good history lessons in there too, which I love, like, history being thrown in.
Yeah.
In a way that I like to read.
Yes.
Which is not often. So, yeah. What about you?
I'm glad that I read this one instead of getting aggravated by all the hype that it's getting like I normally would. I think it was worth it. And I think it was a nice change of pace from the things that we have been reading and the things that we're reading next. It's very different, which is special.
Special.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's it might be a little random that we're talking about something so completely, like, out of our wheelhouse, but it's fine.
Yeah. Also, I don't think this was mentioned that I mentioned this. Also, why is it royal blue instead of just blue? Oh! Wow. Good job, Amber.
Do you want me to edit that out?
No, you're fine. You're fine. Totally fine. At least I can make people laugh sometimes. I happen to love red, white, and blue. So I was super excited just by the book title at first because I wear red, white, and blue all the time. It's also my colors at school where I work. So, but I was like, why royal blue? Why not just navy blue? Gosh. Wow.
Proud of you for coming to that conclusion.
All on my own.
Without me saying anything, because I probably would have been really, like, sarcastic about it. In a loving way, of course.
Oh
my gosh. Okay, well, that's it for this episode of Fictional Hangover. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Amber.
Join us next time as we discuss Never Night by Jay Kristoff. If you have anything to share with us about anything we've discussed so far or any questions about what's coming up, let us know. Also, be sure to look out for our next Would You Rather poll on social media. Until next time, remember, the only cure for a fictional hangover is another book.
You can find us at fictionalhangover.com, follow us on Instagram at fictionalhangover, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fictionalhangover, and on Twitter at fictionalhangove, no ER. Also, special shout out to Liz Emerson for her music. You can find her on Facebook at Liz Emerson or on Patreon. Thanks for listening.